It's an exciting time with Apostle Thompson, who is our spiritual leader here and our apostle. And so therefore, everything that we learn again is according to what he's teaching, what he's training. One voice across the whole school. And so each one of you have been empowered, apostolic authority, apostolic order, heaven to earth government. Apostolic is heaven to earth government. So everything is dealing with the government of the kingdom of God. The government of the kingdom of God, what God says, how God wants to run the church of the kingdom of God, how it runs, the order of it, and how we're to operate in it. One of the things you also understand by Apostle Thompson that through his training, through his teaching and his discipleship that he's gone in himself, he learned a lot of lessons. And so those lessons became his culture. So when you hear him say things like, "Where your tie at?" That's his culture. He was trained in it. He was disciplined in it. He was drilled in it. And so therefore, he's not going to change because that's his culture. But the modern church is shifting. Okay? As man-made theory, theology, or man-pleasing man. Eye servant. So therefore, they are changing the culture of church, what we call church. And so dress codes are changing. But because Dr. Thompson was raised in a culture, and his culture is once you learn to dress, you dress, have dignity about yourself. Well, that's the same culture we're teaching you. That's the culture we believe in to be a truth. So therefore, when you see the word culture represent a belief, a core belief, a group of people who have developed a core belief system, things they believe to be true. A culture is core belief system. Things we believe to be true, things we believe to be God's way of doing things. Is everybody going to accept our culture? No. They're not going to accept our culture, but we believe it to be true. We believe it to be the will of God. And so therefore, we become sticklers to the will of God and what God teaches. And those who join the culture must be transformed. They must go through a transformation to leave their old ways of thinking, their old ways of training, and relearn Romans chapter 12 by being transformed by the renewing of their minds. So when you come into a culture, one of the first things you're going to get is a culture shock to realize people don't do the things the way you do them. Okay, and so that means you got to transform, transition to the way they do things. So Apostle said tonight is, if you just hang around us a while, you'll get the picture. You'll get the picture of what goes on in our culture about the apostolic. So those are the type of things that goes on. So let me give you some things that once you get your book and you start reading the introduction, these are some things you're going to run across that we're going to highlight even more so and begin to really pound on, because of the fact when you go back to your local church and deal with your local pastors or your apostles or prophets or evangelists or teachers who are that you are submitted to, then you understand that there's a greater level of appreciation and honor that goes on. And to the level that we honor them is to the level that we can receive from their gifts and their callings. So that's what we call the culture of honor. The culture of honor. This honor does not only goes to the apostles or prophets, the evangelists and pastors and teachers, but it goes to every member in the congregation. Every member in the congregation deserves to be treated with honor. Treated with honor. So we develop an environment of honor, an environment of honor, how we treat each other and honor each other, honor the titles that God has placed in the midst of us, how we treat those titles, embrace those titles, because they are important. They're important. That's why Ephesians 4, 10 that says he gave gifts to men, and he gave some to become apostles, some to become prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, some, not everybody. But those titles or those offices had graces on them, graces which also carry rewards, that when we properly honor those offices or graces, then the reward of that office comes to our life. It comes to our life. So we become what we are socialized with, or we are socialized with. We become that. So when we sit up under the apostolic, as the apostle said tonight, when we sit up under the apostolic anointing in teaching, it's hard for you not to become apostolic. I mean, you begin to adapt the ways, the thoughts, and the operation of an apostolic. Your lifestyle changes, your transition take place in your whole life, not just for church, in ministry on Sundays, but it affects the rest of your life. And the people who are around you are affected by the training and the teaching and the mentorship and the anointing that comes on your life. It changes everything. Again, apostle, you'll hear me say, apostle said this, apostle said that, because everything is taught from his anointing. And he talks about when you come up under this anointing, at the apostolic, there's a time or a point where you're going to break away from certain people. People who are not adopting to our culture, our belief, core systems, what we believe to be true, what we believe God has said to us according to his word. So therefore, when those people do not adapt to our culture, it causes separation, even in families. It causes separation, and you must be willing to pay the cost if you're going to follow God to a greater level, to a greater depth, where you're sold out to what God wants you to do and what God has called you to do. So let's look at some things here. I know you don't have your books again, but let me just read this from our introduction. This is powerful. It says, within these pages, you will find what one of my friends called a recipe. The ingredients of this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. So the culture we call core beliefs are a set of beliefs and practices. These things we believe and these things we do. This is how we live. We live from the spiritual lifestyle that God has designed for us. That's what we live from the Bible. We live according to the word. Apostle mentioned that again tonight to us. You know, we don't deal with the fashions or the traditions of men. We live according to the word of God. We believe that those truths and principles are God's way of the kingdom, how it's supposed to operate and how we're supposed to live in the kingdom. And so therefore, everybody's not going to adapt to us. And so therefore, that will cause a separation. You know, I can still love you or whatever, but the idea is our fellowship is just not on the same page. It's just not on the same page. You see what I'm saying? So I don't really have to hate people because they don't believe what I believe. The idea, I can still love them because I'm called to love. I'm called to love, but the idea is our fellowship is just not going in the same direction. You see? So that becomes sometimes to the unbeliever, or a person not believing our core beliefs, sometimes they want to call you over religious, so super spiritual, and all those kind of things. You know, those titles they try to put up on you. But the idea is, no, I'm a believer. I believe what the word God says. I just believe the word. And I practice the word. Not only I hear it, but I'm a doer of the word. So make that number one on your list tonight, that the ingredients in this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. Make that number one. The ingredients in this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. Because when you go online to do your lit quizzes, that's the way it's going to read. You may have blanks to fill in, but the computer is so specific. If you put a but where there's an R, it's wrong. Okay, so you got to make sure, as I'm stating it to you, when you get your book and look at it, make sure it's lying online, because that's the way the computer is going to read it. Okay? So you call me, well, I put in, it will say something else, I missed it. Yeah, you did miss it. You just missed it. You just missed it. Because it's specific. Okay? Okay. So he goes on to say, the steps in this recipe combines these ingredients in such a way that they causes something powerful. When we put the beliefs and practice together, it creates what is called an environment. An environment. It's an environment that is uncommon on the earth today. This environment is totally uncommon on the earth today. It is an environment that attracts, make this note, this is number two. It is an environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God. When we put our belief cores and put these belief cores or the principles of God's word to practice, we create an environment. We create an environment. And that environment hosts the presence of God. This is beyond worship service. I know many times we come in on Sundays and we come in our midweek services, and we have wonderful praise and worship, and we have wonderful, glorious worship services, and the word of God goes forth powerful. That's one of the places where we create this environment. But the other place we create the environment is how we build relationships with each other, how we honor and respect each other. That's even a greater, stronger relationship, because when the people are not one, when the people have wars and strife among themselves, then the word of God cannot flow mighty. Then God will not even add to the church, because there's strife in the midst of the people. So the culture is designed by practicing these beliefs in principles of God's word. We create our environment or a culture of honor where we entertain and embrace the relationships of our brothers and sisters with great joy and great grace. You see, we're not bickering, we're not fighting, we're not holding grudges, we're not having a judgmental legalism church. And every time somebody do something, we got to go pull out, okay, chapter 12, line 113, part B says you shouldn't be doing this. So we go to that. That's not what we do. The apostolic also has a born it calls a grace. The apostle Paul talking about his grace. That's a grace upon me, that you become partakers of my grace. That grace is what causes the mercy and the forgiveness of God to come in the environment, that when people do error and miss it, we don't pick up stones and stone them. We allow that grace to come through us and embrace them and says, okay, yes, you did it. So let's, amen, praise God, repent, let's move on. God forgive you, we forgive you, let's move on from that. You know, and we don't look at each other with black eyes and, oh, she did this girl, he did that. You know, we calling everybody, you know, who went through a divorce last week. We ain't dealing with all that craziness. No, grace embraces the sinner. Grace embraces the brothers and sisters in the body who falls and pick them up and encourage them and builds them. So Apostle Paul knew how to deal with that grace, because of the fact that, you know, the Old Testament dealt with judgments. It dealt with judgments. And when we deal with the woman, further, we'll see further than we did the woman who committed adultery and fornication. You know, the Bible talks about, they came to Jesus and told him, said, Master, this woman was kind of very active this. You know, and according to Moses' law, she should be stoned. They asked him, said, what did you say about it? You know, and he stooped down and wrote on the ground, whatever. You know, translated what he wrote on the ground, but he wrote and he saw, you have not sinned, cast the first stone. Yeah. You know, so why did not he deal with the law? Because the law didn't have grace on it. Wow. Jesus came to bring grace. Wow. See, grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Jesus was bringing the grace that the law didn't carry. Mm-hmm. So when they asked him, they are talking to grace. And grace says, he had not committed sin, cast the first stone. Yeah. Then he told her, woman, where are your accusers? She said, I have none. He said, neither do I accuse you. But go and sin no more. Yeah. And see, and that's the grace that got to come on the church, because people are going to err. Yeah. We still in this earth suit. Yeah. We still got to deal with the war thoughts that goes in our minds. You know, so those things we still wrestle with in the earth realm. So grace have to come under the church, where the church is not so legalism. You know, there has to be rules, but we're not so much judgmental that we condemn. You know, but we lose grace to release people, you know, the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. So that's where we develop an environment. We build an environment of grace, an environment of honor. Okay. And not judgmental. So when you see the word environment, that's what we're talking about, an environment where we have built relationships that's based upon grace and the word of God. We are not condemners. We are not judgmental to each other. We are not backbiting on each other and all the stuff that goes on in religion. Why sinners don't want to come to church, you know, because they hear all this stuff that people sit around the table talk about, you know, out the church. Okay, so let's move on. So that's number two. Make sure you have it. It is an environment. The culture is an environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God, not only in worship service, but in our relationships. The author also says, the pastor who wrote the book, he's the pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California. So you'll see many times he'll mention his church name in the book, you know, but we're still dealing with the culture. And he let us know that even his church is not the only pattern of honor. It's not the only pattern of honor. There are other things we have cited in our own church institutions that is very honorable. But this is one of the recipes. If we can follow the pattern, we can also draw from it and how to change our culture environment in our local churches. Okay, he says this. When God first speaks of honor in the Ten Commandments, he promised that long life will be our reward for honoring our parents. He says, at Bethel, we believe that this command reveals a principle of honor in general. So we often say life flows through honor. Number three, life flows through honor. Whether our churches or our ministries are going to breed a growth coming to our churches is going to be based upon the people who are in it when we learn how to honor properly. We learn to honor properly. How many of you have elders in your church? Okay. How many of you have evangelists in your churches? You have any ministers or do evangelism, maybe do prison ministry, outreach ministry, that the evangelists in your ministries. Okay. Then we talked about the teachers and we talked about the prophets, apostles, and the pastors. When we begin to honor properly, when you reach to an elder in your church, a man who has been given delegated authority by the overseer or pastor or the apostle of that ministry, and he's delegated authority to this brother or this sister as a minister of the Word of God, recognized by giving license out to those who honor properly, who deserve it. God is called to do it, you know, not to those who are in dishonor. But when we give titles to people and positions to people in our local church, then the members of that environment or culture should recognize the delegated authority. That man or that woman stands in an office that has a grace on it. So he's just not Brother Jack and Brother Joe. No. See, I cannot receive the grace off of his office unless I properly honor the office. Yes. So when I approach him, approach her, you know, I approach them based on their office. Yes. You know, elder, whoever the name of the person is, he's my elder. Mm-hmm. You know, or that's my pastor, or that's evangelist so-and-so. Whatever their names are, that's the way I entitle them, I call them, whether I'm at a park, whether I'm in a mall, whatever my settings are, and especially more so when I'm among the brethren. Why? Because it's a culture. When people around me start hearing the atmosphere around me, oh, that's Elder James. He's over the youth ministry, or he does whatever in that area. Then everybody else is going to start picking that title up and say, oh, that's Elder James over there. Yeah. We forget to call it, but if I call him, hey, bro, what's going on, Jude? Mm-hmm. Now I'm developing a culture. Because The people around me are hearing me speak, and they're going to start, and they say, oh, that's, hey, hello, dude over there. They're grabbing a culture. Yeah. So our culture is built with our embracing the relationships in our churches. That's how the culture is built. You okay? So cultures are built that way. So we have to sustain that culture with honor and respect. That's how the cultures are built. Okay? So titles are very important. they carry graces. You'll see that later on, that those titles carry graces. Okay? And those graces has rewards. When I embrace them correctly, with honor and respect, I can receive from that gift. That gift will come to me. That anointing will come from me. That's the only way I can get apostolic anointing. I got to receive the apostle. I got to honor the apostle. You see, that's how I receive the gift off his life. When he's prophesying and he's speaking the word off his life, I can receive it just as easy because I respect and I honor the man in the office. I respect it, you know. But if I dishonor it, I can't receive from it. Matthew's, matter of fact, there's a scripture in Matthew's chapter 10, verse 41. Matthew's 10, 41, that says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet reward. You see, when I respect the office, you see, it doesn't matter if the person in the office is good or evil. It doesn't matter. I still have to respect the office. The office carries the grace. You see, so I got to be careful how I embrace and talk about the person who's in the office, because that's a grace on the office. You see, and so you got to be very mindful of that. All of us do have to be very mindful of that. And that's when we're sitting around the table eating lunch and dinner, you know, and with our like friends or whoever they are, family members, or even our kids. When we're sitting at the table eating, we got to be careful how we talk about people, because these people are walking in offices of graces. Okay, so if we receive a prophet, name a prophet, we get a prophet reward. Okay, so here's number four. This is kind of long, so we'll break it down on a quiz so you can really get it. It's very long. The principle of honor, this is what it says. The principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve. And to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. I'll read it again, just in case we. The principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve. And to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. When we begin to accurately acknowledge who people are, recognize their office, recognize their position, and honor that office, and give them what they deserve, respect and honor, because of their position, their calling, their anointing, their graces, it also, in return, causes us, it positions us to receive. Yeah. To receive what's rightfully ours for being connected to them. Yeah. These people have been given to us as a gift from God to bless us. To train us into discipline, to bring us to a place of a spiritual discipline, breaking bad habits of thoughts, You know, the constant training, the constant putting out impartations to us to help us transform our thinking, to come in a divine alignment with the will of God so we can be in position that God can use us at a greater level. So God can use us at a greater level and bring blessings on our lives when we come in alignment and recognize who these people are. Elisha, who followed Elijah, who served him faithfully. For some say from 12 to 17 years he served. Faithfully, committed, dedicated, left everything to serve a man, to cook, to clean, to make sure his clothes were washed, to make sure everything he needed done, to cook for him, whatever it took to serve this man, to make sure that he's in alignment with the will of God, to do what God wanted him to do. It took all that stress off of his life so he can spend time with God in prayer, time in the Word, on the Word of God, to listen to God and follow God's instructions. Amen. Now, some people call that being very extreme when we serve our leaders and those who pastor us and those who lead us, who God has put as spiritual leaders in our lives. You know, they go somewhere that extreme and say, what you calling him your dad for? You know, all kind of things, because of fact they're in a denominational circle and don't understand the culture that we don't develop. That we develop a relationship with our man of God. Amen. And because we're in this relationship, we honor it at a high level. We honor it at a high level. And so they don't understand that value that we put upon our leadership. Because these men are precious to us. These women are precious to us. Matter of fact, these people hold the word of God in their mouth for our life. Because one word out of their mouth can change our life. You know, so this guy, Elisha, he served Elijah with such a commitment and dedication that people was talking about, man, where this guy go, you go. What's wrong with you? He was sold out to it. He was sold out to it. But because he served honorably and faithfully, at the end of this man's journey, his leader's journey, he was able to receive a double portion of his anointing. But if he had not served and stayed committed and closed everybody else out and focused on the calling that was on his life, God has set me up under this man. God has set me to serve this man of God, this prophet. So I'm going to serve him with everything within me. Because God got a reward for that. That's a grace on his life. And he got it. He got that anointing. Matter of fact, the Bible said the anointing on his life was so strong that it was saturated into his bones. That even at death, the anointing couldn't even leave. It was still in his bones. That's how the anointing was so heavy on his life. It saturated his life. You see? So God wants to do the same thing. God's trying to pass on a mantle. God's trying to put up an anointing on the body of Christ, not just one man, but the body of Christ. You know, but it only can receive if we learn how to honor properly, to serve, respect, and honor properly the men and women of God got and put in front of us. That's the only way we can get it. That's the only way we can get it. It's transferable. You see? So sometimes you got to lose your agenda to follow the man in front of you. Yeah. You got your two pet scriptures and three revelations. You know, just throw that in the back of your mind for a moment. And it don't belittle you. Don't take nothing from you. It's the idea of God such as to be equipped. There's something you don't know that you should know. And the only way for you to know it is going to come through this man or this woman sitting in front of you who God has called. That's the way you're going to get it. You see? So you have to learn. That's why we developed this culture. That's why this culture is so valuable to us in honor and leadership. We don't allow people to belittle our leaders. You know, we stand up. We say, hey, no, that's my man of God. You know, that's why when we socialize and my car is always parked on the end. So if something go down, I can get out. I can get out because I'm not going to stay there and listen to that foolishness. You see? So you got to be able to put yourself in a position, you know, where, no, you're not going to defile or speak belittle of my leadership. It's not going to happen. Okay? And so, a lot of people don't understand that's too extreme. That's too extreme. No, Peter was very extreme. And according to Catholics, he was black. So that kind of gave him a little room. You know, he was very extreme. You know, they came out to Jesus, he put a knife out, said, "What you said?" Yeah, the ear was gone, brother. It was already gone. No, you're not going there with Jesus. Jesus said, "Peter, put that away, man. Put that away." No. Yeah, that's how we defend leadership. Okay, number, where am I, five? Number five. This would page, once you get your book on page 26, it's still dealing with the introduction. It said, honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. That is valuable in a general sense of learning to honor people, honoring leaders, honoring those who wear titles. Those titles even go so far as, it's not here in the writing, but he do talk about his family and some incidents that happened in his family and how they had to operate in honor, and those type of things give us some illustrations of how honor operate. We'll find that further in the book as well. But honor not only go to our fivefold calling gifts in the body of Christ, but that honor also go to your house. When you learn to honor your husband, because husband is a title. When you honor your wife, that is a title. That is a position. There is a grace on it. There's a grace on it. And when we learn to properly honor each other, we're now promoting lifelong relationships. Lifelong relationship. So I got to understand that my wife carries a title. You see, so I have to honor that title, because the way I get the best out of my wife is to honor her properly. Amen. Because there's potentials in her, there's abilities in her, there are giftings in her, that if I belittle it, then I smother the gift. Amen. And the ability. Amen. So now I rob myself of things I could be. Because she's my helpmate. She's helping me to fulfill my call and vision. But if I stifle that, then therefore I walk limped. You see, incomplete. I cannot reach my full potential. Even though I got potential, I can't reach the full potential because she has something that pulls them out of me. And vice versa. Vice versa. It happens both ways. So husbands and wives are titles, and they have to be properly honored, properly honored. And that's where we get these covenants from, these long-lasting relationships that last 60 and 65 years of marriage, because these people have learned how to honor each other properly. They've learned to honor each other properly. Okay? So therefore, so when he says honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships, it's not only dealing with just church and the fivefold giftings. It deals with when we go home, even we deal with people on our jobs. There's an honor that goes with the titles that has to be respected. You see, they may not have all good ways and good mannerisms and all that kind of stuff, but I have to appreciate their gifts. You see, because if they are the boss on the job, they are the CEO on the job, then I owe them respect. It's due to them. Exactly. It's due to them. And therefore, my gifts, my talents, and my abilities that I've acquired through school or training, however I got those gifts and talent and ability, therefore, when I go to work for those 8 hours, I owe them them talent, those gifts, and those abilities. I owe them that. And I shouldn't dishonor it. I owe them that. You know, and that's the same thing with ministry, same thing in any other office. You know, your kids holds an office. Children holds an office. You know, and we should honor our children. Things we do in front of them, things we say in front of them, it should be respect and honorable. Because they're going to learn our culture. They're going to learn our culture. You know, have you ever been to, as growing up as a child, have you ever, your mom ever took you to the grocery store? And no, our kids do. Those who got parents here, we got kids. We take our kids to the store, and we're going to the store to get one item. And all of a sudden, they want two or three different things. They're kicking, falling out on the floor. those type of things, and we're trying to correct them in the store and discipline them in the store and those type of things that goes on in the store. And we tell them, what's wrong with you? You think money grown trees? I ain't got no money for that. That costs too much. What we are doing is developing a culture. Because now we are programmed their thinking. Yeah. There are certain things in the store I cannot have because it costs too much. So now we grew up with children who are cheap in their thinking. They're always looking for a blue light special. Because mama always told me to get the blue light special. You know, and so we train in a culture. A culture is developed by actions, is it developed by words. We learn it by observation. And so kids learn by observation. That's how you and I learn by observation. Okay, so therefore, whatever you're doing now, you know, you got to catch yourself as you learn this new culture and how this culture thinks and how it operates. You got to learn how to transform your thinking and your behavior so people around you and your environment can make the shift. So they can make the shift with you. That way we don't leave people behind that are good people. But because they don't understand our culture, they get left out. Because they don't understand how we operate. You okay? So we are wearing apostolic anointing because we are born an apostolic leader. So we think like apostle. We act like apostle. We are bold like apostle. And sometimes we just do what we do. We just do what we do. Because that's what apostles do. Okay? You're going to learn the culture. And the culture become language. It become dress cultures. It become even hairstyle cultures. Because we are dressing and looking the way we're looking at our leader. And so we're going to pick up some of their ways. We're going to start talking like them, walking like them, acting like them. And people say, you talk just like Apostle Thompson. You act just like Apostle. If I would close my eyes, I thought you was Apostle Thompson. Yeah, why? I'm around it. I'm catching it. I'm catching it. And that's what you do on your pastors. You catch his anointing. You catch her anointing. And that's what Elisha did. He caught the anointing off Elijah's life. And I'm not going to catch a fuss because my time is up. Thank you for yours. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you. We'll see you next Monday. Excuse me? Wednesday. Yeah, right. Y'all come in Wednesday. I'll see you Monday. Yeah, I'm glad you corrected me. That's right. Y'all be here Wednesday. Exactly. God bless y'all. Wonderful class. Okay.